Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listen.
And we are thrown into a bubble, into the middle of the jungle, scouring the earth for what are mostly animals that look like ridiculous teenage drawings. That's right, it's one-upsmanship. And I, one of your hosts, Adam Ganser, am here with our other beloved host, Michael.
Oh, you were describing the game. I just was imagining, like, free-form, you know, Zork, yeah, like
I was just
text
like,
adventure shit
just
going,
making up a,
going
ooh,
on.
What a cool scenario. I'm ready for an improv game. Great. No,
I'm not.
Thank I'm you. Really you blew not. This intro up. I like it. I like what you did. Anyway.
I'm never ready for improv.
Me neither.
I'm agreeing with you on that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I'll agree with you throughout this podcast, but oh. I'm never ready for improv.
Battlegrounds are drawn already. Anyway, that was Michael Slaim, and then just now was our beautiful guest. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Hannah Michaels. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for coming on our show and talking about Pokemon.
Thanks for having me. You know, I'm really excited.
Oh, good.
A topic that at Cracked would always completely shut the writer's room yeah. down, and everyone would look around being like, I don't know. You know Pokemon? Someone's got to know Pokemon. We're all pop culture people. Come on, Pokemon?
Nobody.
No Pokemon.
Nobody.
They're pocket monsters people.
Yeah. Nobody. Yeah. And I felt great about that because I've always been a little too old for Pokemon. So that's been like a solace for me. Like, yeah, I missed it. That feels good.
But it's a worldwide phenomenon.
So was
phenomenon.
I, and
you
I was bullied for it.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's, you know, whenever I see a kid in Pokemon gear now, I feel good. I feel like, you know, I was put in lockers so you could fly.
Bullied specifically for Pokemon
you
stuff.
Suffered
that's interesting.
For all of us. Thank you for doing that. I love it.
Yes, I did.
At my high school, the bullied played Magic the Gathering and the bullies played Pokemon cards. Isn't that odd?
That is
weird.
Developing it's, in different parts of the country.
Was it the Montessori High School? Is that why? Okay.
No,
all right.
No, it was public school by that point, but it was a pretty chillax school, I suppose, in the grand scheme
of
schools.
I went to, this is middle school. I went to middle school in
oh, middle school suck everywhere,
yeah.
always.
Yeah, and it was fucking Beverly Hills, and it was a religious school. Oh. Like, there's no way
wow.
I was going to be okay socially.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That's a lot to ask.
No way in hell.
That's a lot to ask of a kid.
I will play that back for my mother.
In hell. that's what's going to happen. Okay, well.
I will play that on a loop on her deathbed.
That's how she's watching the light extinguish.
That's your Pokemon call. Yeah. That's what you get. This is all you can say.
Yep.
That's right.
I am pretty sure that she threw my my Pokemon hat into Poison Oak on purpose and blamed it on a child.
Oh, dang. I like that. I like
these
facts.
Blamed it on an evil Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah, made up a Pokemon. That was an evil Zor, you know?
Told you, like, yeah, a Skulldugger.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. A Sadasaur. Got it. Watch out. It's evolving into a Rageasaur. hey, so maybe we should get into character here and pass our very first checkpoint into our first segment, which we call the speed run. The speed run, Hannah, if you're familiar, is where our guest gives us a summary of all the essential information about the game, in case we've never heard of the game, but in the fastest way possible.
Give me all the work. Okay.
Yes, that's right. We'll get the stopwatch ready. Are you feeling good? You ready to go?
Sure.
Okay, and
let's do it.
Start the clock.
So Pokemon Snap is a game where I don't need to talk about the background of why you're taking these photos, because who cares? You are taking photos of Pokemon with different poses, making them do different things by throwing apples at them and other things, playing music at them, generally bothering animals so that you could get the best shot possible. just like any good National Geographic photographer.
Great. Stop the clock.
Stop the clock. That was
what a great summary. That is what the game is.
Dispatched.
That's it.
They should let you throw apples at the San Diego Wild Animal Park on the tram tour. I would pay so much more for the apple, a big bag of apples you get to throw.
And just watch
let us bother the animals.
Just watch a polar bear come careening right at your glass dome.
I mean, look.
Call it fluff fruit if you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look. I'm not going to say that zoology hasn't progressed, but I will say it hasn't progressed much beyond this.
That is a bold claim that I'm not going to argue, because I don't know shit about zoology.
I'm not prepared to speak to zoological norms.
I'm not prepared. I did prepare for this podcast, though. I have many questions. And maybe to start that off, what do you say, Mike? Should we pass our next checkpoint and get into the rants? What do you think?
By the way, just you're navigating us through the episode with
a plum. Yeah, thank you. I wanted to put it on rails.
We decided to tighten our ship, and I think we're doing that just great. Just swell.
God, it feels so good and tight.
So, yes, of course it's time for the rant. Right on
thank
schedule.
You.
Good
thank
sir.
You. So, do you want to go first, Mike, about your thoughts on the new Pokemon Snap?
Sure, absolutely.
Great.
Player one plugging in on the new Pokemon Snap, I think my note that I'll base my rant around is I wrote cavalcade of emotions. Sometimes the most boring thing I can imagine myself doing. But then other times it's like, oh my God, that Bidoof came out of nowhere. and I was genuinely thrilled by the thing that the toy wants, which is scarcity of moment, and it got me thinking about the fleeting, ephemeral nature of time. I got a lot deeper into new Pokemon Snap than I thought I would. I have major problems with it, but I think they're all interesting. All my questions about, I don't want to come in too hot, but when I ask Hana, presuming she really likes it, what do you really like about, or what keeps you going between those moments? But I did find the joy in this game. There were those epic moments of getting the perfect shot, which is so funny. And mixed review. That's my rant. Zip it, ship it, I'll quip it.
Wonderful. I think in the interest of allowing our guests to have the final word on the rants, I'll go next. Is that fair?
I think that's
wise. That way Hana should be able to rebut everything we say. I think
I wouldn't dare question the momentum you have at this point with which segment should
thank
go
you
when.
So much
nailing
thank
it.
You
yeah
so player two Adam Ganser plugging in. Okay, I think that this game is the most accessible Pokemon thing I've seen in 10 years, maybe longer. I thought Pokemon Go also was accessible, but I didn't want to go walk around outside and take pictures that much. This is a much more fun version for a lazy fuck like me. So I've tried Pokemon many different ways. I own a copy of Sword, and I believe Yellow, and I played the original Pokemon Snap a little bit. And I'll just tell you, I don't think anything is going to get me over the threshold to liking a Pokemon game. I just don't think it is. And I know why now, though. This game showed me why. It's that I have to already like these like creatures enough to be curious about them to play this game. So like the built-in buy-in of, oh, these things are cute or interesting isn't there for me. It might be there if it wasn't this kind of world of animals. Like if it was, I don't know, like creepier, I guess, or more naturalistic, or just anything that just gets me more intrigued. But the cartoon animal thing isn't doing it for me, and I'm sorry. And I know that there's a lot of Pokemon people who are like rolling their eyes so hard right now, and I get it. But also, I don't think they get it that if you don't like this thing, like Pokemon in general, nothing will fix that. Like no game will fix that. I don't think. I enjoyed that this was not a combat game, but it also brought some game questions. Like one is, why isn't this a free roam game? Like, why in the world can't you just get in a bubble and just roam anywhere in this world and take pictures for a timed session? Why can't they do that? That would be a way more fun way to do this than, like, being on a weird It's a Small World After All joyride where you can only take pictures if you happen to get the right angle for, like, half of a second. It's like, well, you're making this harder than it needs to be. Let me just roll around and find the Pokemon in their natural habitat. Maybe I'd get invested then. I know that would take more design, but, like, they can do it. They're Nintendo. Give it a shot, you know? So there's that. I also, I found the scoring to be extremely frustrating. Frustrating on like a, what are we scoring based on? Like, is it because, and I got that it was like, oh, is the animal doing something cool that it normally doesn't do? And is it center punched? A thing that's like, that's not how photography works. I took some cool ass pictures of what I'll call Pokey Spider because the names will fall right out of my head.
Arachneo.
Thank you for remembering it. I'll my brain refuses to learn
that's
it.
That's not it.
That's not right. That's not right. Yeah, yeah. I just could be right.
Yeah, Spider Rot or whatever. I took some cool pictures like through the foliage and stuff, and like it came back a one star. And then I took like a picture of the same, you know, Spider-O. Like just a boring center punch one with no leaves in front of it. 3 stars because it was smiling.
Professor Mirror's like, fuck your indie film school depth of field.
And
bullshit.
It's like, no, fuck your thing, bro. Because like, hey man, photography should be like real photography. What are we doing here? And I understand that seems arbitrary, perhaps, to those of you who love this game. But I'm trying to find a way in, legitimately. I'm trying to find a way in that is recognizable for people who aren't into this, and even this game, as approachable as it is, didn't let me do that. That's my rant.
I will say that you're trying to find a way in, but also kind of, you kind of answered your own question. There are a lot of unlockable things that are only sort of doable on that track. There are a lot of achievements that you can only get because you have a limited amount of time to get those poses.
For real. Yeah, for sure.
It's just a very specific type of gameplay that if you're not into, you're not into. I do enjoy that they added an online component where you could put stickers on them and make the Pokemon look really dumb. There's a little swirly thing that I always use to give the Pokemon buttholes. I had dumb captions. I put them on the internet. One time it got banned for sexual content, but...
Great.
I enjoy the gameplay. I did grow up playing the Pokemon games. That does make a difference. I think that the challenge is very different than it is in most games, and the limitations are just more apparent. They're not necessarily... I wouldn't say that there are more limitations than other games with specific paths like this. It just feels that way. It's just more obvious. That's my only rebuttal. I think that I've been genuinely challenged to, you know, it's a game for kids because it looks cute and cartoony is probably the argument that I've heard. But I've been genuinely challenged to unlock certain things within the game. And it involves thinking outside the box for someone who doesn't necessarily have very good spatial relationships. I can't, for example, like, I'm not going to create something amazing in Minecraft because I just don't have that brain. But I can put a bunch of stickers on a photo in Pokemon Snap and make it look really gross.
Okay. Like, just for some context, like, what are some of your favorite video games, if you don't mind?
I did like the Elden Ring series up until, like, Skyrim. Or not Elden Ring, I'm sorry.
Elder Scrolls.
The Elder Scrolls. Yeah. Thank you. Up until, like, Skyrim.
I was super hoping Han had blasted through
Elden Ring. Me too. I was going to be like, oh my god.
I was done with that, yeah.
I know. I do. I can't. This is my depression season. I can't play Elden Ring until June. It really sucks.
It is a grim,
you know,
looking
as much
game.
as much as you don't like cartoony graphics, I can't handle Elden Ring until
grim dark shit.
Yeah. Until my depression lifts.
That's, I completely understand. So Elder Scrolls,
I enjoy the Zelda games. I enjoy a lot of, I enjoy first person shooters if they have a good story. I'm not a big Call of Duty person, but if there's a good story behind it, I'll be down. I like watching people play horror games, but I cannot play them because my reflexes are dumb.
Like, have you ever played a Resident Evil game?
I have not, because my reflexes, like, I've tried. My reflexes are dumb when I am scared or even slightly activated.
Okay, all right. That's interesting.
If we were in, like, cave times, I would be put out in the fucking forest to die.
But you'd get some good shots.
Oh, some great shots. We'd be laughing.
Some Pokemon snaps.
We'd be laughing.
I would.
Adam, where previously I praised your adherence to staying on the rails, now I admonish and chastise you. Because I don't understand if we're in the rants or game on.
We're about to cross our next checkpoint into game on. I just wanted to get a little bit of context for some of Hannah's favorite games, just because we never had her.
For what's wrong with me?
No. Just because we never had you on the show, it's good to know sort of what kind of things appeal to you.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I do enjoy, we were talking about Mario Kart. That's one of the games I'm actually pretty good at. So
okay.
I'm decent at some fighting games as well.
Hey, Swaim, did you know Mario Kart 8 is the seventh highest selling game of 2021? Because it was.
That's amazing.
Is amazing. I say that because my first instinct about this game was to see, did it sell? Like, is this like a whole swath of people that are really interested in Pokemon Snap? And like, is that a whole genre of gamer that, you know, doesn't have that much overlap with me? And it turns out the answer to that is no.
No, it's more like a loud cult following.
Yeah, Pokemon Snap was the 13th highest selling Nintendo game last year, and it was beat by several other Pokemon games.
Yeah, those are more traditional Pokemon mechanics, right. Those games.
Right, and Pokemon mechanics, generally speaking, as a person who owns Sword and put 50 hours into it, as far as I can tell, are basically just JRPG battles. Like, that's what Pokemon really is. It's
to an extent, yeah.
I mean, it's, and I say this, there's nothing pejorative about it. I'm playing Cyberpunk right now in the most immature way possible. And all that game really is like, you know, kill all these dudes and collect these items and then go to the next thing. And I think
I mean, that's what most games are.
Yeah.
You forgot sell the items. Yeah, and buy I did new forget items that. And equip the items.
Whereas in Pokemon, it really is just sort of like get a better card that does the better action to then do this fight loop again. And like, all games are ultimately reducible to silly loops like this. What's interesting about Pokemon Snap is that it decided to do a completely different loop than that, you know, with the same content. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like that many people are following it down this trajectory. Why do you think that is, anyone?
So this is Game On.
Yes, it is Game On.
You're supposed to say Game On in some sort of effective way. So we know the game, she is afoot.
You're anything. Like half host, half like Stettler and Waldorf back here, like just criticizing.
Yeah, just it's Stettler. You
God damn it. We're not even releasing this now.
So, this is where anyone talks and we just podcast like normal human beings. Case in point, I'll just say you never know what's going to be really nostalgic for people, because I definitely had leftover excitement because I played Pokemon Snap on N64 and really enjoyed it for what it was at the time. But I do think it's a slight tangent, but my partner Jen was going to throw a banana peel out the car window and I was like, don't. And they were like, why? It's biodegradable. And I was like, yeah, but it'll cause the car to spin out. Like, you know, like, because it's a banana peel. And they were like, yeah, like in Diddy Kong Racing. And I was like, fuck, do you mean in Diddy Kong Racing? You mean like in Mario Kart? And they were like, what's that?
Whoa.
This is just to Adam's previous point about Mario Kart. But anyway, they know Diddy Kong Racing. Anyway, so there is a nostalgia factor. But I think there are things that, you know, as time marches on, have become... Here's what I really want to put out there into the conversation. It's a light game gun game, right? It's an arcade light gun game. But instead of killing the things, you're just pointing at them and clicking. Like, you're doing the other form of shooting at something. And I love light gun games, but I wanted to ask first and foremost, like, I turned on motion controls and it still wasn't like a light gun game. I could fine tune my picture by, you know, turning the paddles, but it wasn't like I point at you, gull, and I take your life, either photographically or literally in the case of most light gun games. But I love light gun games, and I think that it was a weird disconnect to me to have to do it with the sticks.
Like it,
and that continued to
like
be
it could have been better if it had the Wii nunchuck built in,
or if it had some special camera peripheral you buy that you hold up to the screen and just
this
click
game
around,
would be fun in VR. But yes.
Okay.
I will say it is not a light gun game in that you have to elicit behaviors before you shoot. And that is something difficult to program, I'm guessing, if you're not on a track. Because you have to elicit behaviors within a very specific period of time.
It's a timing thing.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
about timing.
Well, it's but it
So it's a light gun game with an additional dimension.
Yeah,
which is
but it's
cool,
only in theory, it's only to me. On a timer because these are self reinforcing things.
Right, but so does Tony Hawk. That's what a Tony Hawk
totally.
Run is you do this thing and you try to max your score, right?
Yeah, totally. And and in that case, the time limit gives a sense of like an arbitrary cap so that you can compare apples to apples.
Urgency, yeah.
You know,
fluff fruits. Right. Come on,
thank you. Whereas in this game, I don't know. I found it extremely frustrating that the game was based around the idea of being on this track. Like that. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
They did some admirable shit to you. Go ahead, Hannah.
I think this game just exposes a lot of limitations that are hidden in other games. I don't think it's necessarily more limited as much as it is just the story is not, you know. The story is limited.
That's fair.
I mean, to the degree there is a story, right? I mean, there's a story. There's the, you know, Illumina pod, right? The Illumina Pokemon.
No one plays this for the story. It's fine.
Right.
There's like memorable dialogue, like, look who it is. It's Todd. Quote, this is
right.
Todd.
So when Todd showed up, by the way, first of all, I had to look up why I should know who he was.
And you're like, oh shit, it's Luke Skywalker right. of this universe.
Well, that's why you set your name as various things in Pokemon games. You know, I'm Butt Boobs in Diamond, and I'm a grown-up 69 in Pokemon Snap, if you ever want to check out my photos. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's why you
so
do that.
So Todd, just so everyone can follow this, is the protagonist from the first Pokemon Snap. But he's introduced with very little fanfare to such a degree that I found the relationship between him and Dr. Mir a little confusing. Because like Dr. Mir is like, you know, he's a former traveling companion of mine. I'm like, is this like your blood boy or something? Like, what's the deal here? Are you guys lovers or is he your son or something? What's going on?
And the dialogue's just little interstitial vignettes to let you know what
you said Blood Boy just for me, which I appreciate. But also, also that's true. That's true of kind of all the Pokemon games, and it's almost a relief with that kind of gameplay, because you don't want to get into that shit when you're doing that kind of gameplay. Like you don't care.
That's an interesting assumption. That I think I agree with, actually. I wouldn't want to play Mario Kart 8 and, like, then have to, like, watch cutscenes where Bowser's stealing the Mushroom Cup and we're getting it back by racing this track. Like, I don't want to watch that, you know?
Exactly. Who cares?
I don't care. And I didn't think it was missing or anything. But story is one of those ways in video games that kind of lubricates arbitrary gating. It kind of helps our brain to accept limitations in video games because they're structurally sort of bound together. And the fact that they didn't really have much of a story here or didn't clearly articulate that story made the gating feel more like it was padding the game out. Now, this is the thing I was talking about.
Long have these games been out? Like, honestly, how long has Pokemon
I'm not
been
saying
a thing?
There should,
like, we
yeah,
don't.
Yeah. I'm not saying there should be a Dostoevsky novel here that's like explaining the underlying pathos of Pokemon. It's not that. It's that, like, Mike, you were going to.
Pathos.
Thank you, Mike. You were going to illustrate.
The more of a story we add to a Pokemon game, the more we realize it's dogfighting. So.
That's fair.
That is what's nice about Pokemon Snap is that it fully does encourage the player to reflect on nature, even if in a dumb, you know, very silly way. But like nature and animals are dope. Like I have nothing against engendering a love of animals and, you know, animal behavior and natural environments in people who play video games. I just thought. Because I haven't played the N64 one in so long. I didn't remember you did the courses at day and night. So I just thought I was missing something. Adam, did you have the experience of not being able to get to the second map forever?
Yeah.
Like for a very long time and just doing the one course over and over and going like, oh, I guess I just can't proceed. Oh, it's night now? All right. When am I going to move to a different area?
I felt that every course limitation was frustrating and arbitrary because the game doesn't lay out for you in a clear way the kinds of objectives it would take to get into the next thing. Like, so let's contrast it with like Tony Hawk, right? Tony Hawk, every Tony Hawk game has like, what, 10 parks that you unlock, right? How do you unlock it? Mm-hmm. You unlock it by beating one of these 10 goals, which if you're real good, you could do it on one run. You know what I mean? Whereas in Pokemon, the exact factors that unlock different, like day or night or whatever, are seemingly arbitrarily divided by how many Pokedex entries do you have, which we grade arbitrarily, and then sort of did you capture the one creature that brings up the question that we have to answer at night? Like, those kind of gates are like, okay, so I don't know exactly what I'm looking for. Sorry, Hannah, did you want to disagree with that?
Well, no, I'm just saying maybe I like this game because it works with my brain. My brain did not have a problem with any of that. It has a problem with a lot of different kinds of gameplay, and maybe this game is just for a different type of brain, because that didn't frustrate me and it didn't take me as long.
How do you feel about Animal Crossings? Have you Great tried question. Any of those?
I have. In general,
I get that chill vibe from that.
Yeah, in general, I enjoy simulation games. I would say that I have the only problem I have with Animal Crossing is the amount of unused buttons.
like it has an obligation to use all the controller buttons.
Well, no, it. Just the ease of gameplay. Yeah. It could be a lot because it's not like you're on a timer and the ease of gameplay has to be challenging. Therefore, why can't I access this item with this button?
Oh yeah, that's there's a lot of unnecessary faffing about in the thought balloon that's and the menus true. That feels like it yeah. could be streamlined, but intentionally isn't. But I would say that's also a Nintendo thing. Like, so when I lost faith in my Pokemon Snap experience was moments where I felt like, especially in the menus, where I was like, well, the computer is processing all these photos simultaneously. You could just slap them all down, but you turn it into this whole thing where it goes, oh, the pose was this. Oh, the centering was this. Oh, this was this. All right, you got this. That's this many stars. Here it is going in the book. And I'm like, you're just padding out the experience with menus. That's the kind of stuff that got me down.
Wait, but do you not speed through that?
I sped through.
Eventually.
It still felt like a speed bump yeah. every time. But then I hate when we just bring someone on and then it's their onus to defend the game. So that's I also true. Want to say something that really struck
me. Oh, no, I'm down to defend
was,
it.
There was a point in this game where I had been thinking about this for hours and it finally transpired before me and I got the picture of some seagull piece of shit doing a loop-de-loop. And I got a dopamine adrenaline hit akin to defeating a FromSoft boss. Like,
wow.
I still got that. I got that experience from this where I was like, I got you. I got you, you loop-de-loop motherfucker.
Have
I
you gotten the seagull
got
eating the fish yet? Because that one's fun.
No,
okay.
No. But right. I found the specialty requests of specific behaviors, like three shroomoids dancing together. Like, that's going to be a tall order. That kind of kept me engaged. I thought shrinking was a very valuable way to add to the experience.
Totally.
It really did
totally.
Mix it up. Given that you have to be on rails, I'm like, that's smart. There's two gripes and then I'm out. I didn't understand what got what number of stars.
Right.
Why?
Right. That's a real problem.
Ever.
Yeah.
It never became clear to me, which does seem like a problem.
Okay.
And,
so generally, I can break it down for you.
Please.
Generally, doing nothing or not eliciting any sort of behavior, unless the behavior happens naturally, is one star. Eating or being hit with an apple, generally, two
Eating
stars.
Or being struck.
Interacting with other Pokemon, generally, three stars. Doing a special behavior that you had
Signature
to unlock,
behavior.
Generally, yeah. four stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish... I'm like, why did Professor Mira never say that? That's so key to know to me, to enjoy the mental game.
Because
it's not
hard and fast. There are exceptions. Yeah.
But it could be hard and fast. Like, there's no reason for it not to be.
It could be, but now you're asking for more limitations on this game that had too many limitations,
we're asking,
Adam.
We're asking for clarity in this case. We're asking for clear limitations.
I guess, well, and then... Yeah, I don't need to rush us past. I just have another thing that really bugged me, which was speaking of eliciting behaviors, I spam, right? This had the fluff fruit and the crystal blooms and scanning. And in between like particular dry moments of the run or whatever, I'm spamming that shit to see if I can elicit special behaviors in any way from any of the surrounding Pokemon. Then they add press the shoulder button to play a little ditty. The ditty never changes, and I play it constantly because I want to see what it'll do or unlock. I hate that ditty so much. Well, it drives me insane. It's like a 4-second jingle that repeats.
You barely ever need that, first of all. Second of all, if you keep spamming these if you keep spamming these things, mm-hmm. you may not unlock certain things that need a certain order. One tip is, you know, trails of apples, right?
To get them lined up for a shot, right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you can do that, but if you interrupt the trail at any point with anything, you're fucked.
Which is all I wanted Dr. Mir to say. Look, if you fuck up this trail of apples, you're not getting the shot.
These are strategies.
Honestly, young man.
But then you don't have the fun of figuring it out.
Yeah.
Enjoy figuring it out.
I mean, and I look, as a guy who loves Elden Ring, I do see the value of not telling the player sometimes. I completely do. It's just, I feel like the ethos here is weird in that sometimes it's like, look, you know, figure out how the apples and the sounds and the scans work together, you know, like while you're on this.
Fluff fruit should just be called apples. Let's come off it, game.
Yeah.
Everyone's calling them apples.
I'm never going to call it fluff fruit, just like I'm never going to call, you know, Batichu something, whatever its real name is. I'm not doing that. Yeah, I'm not doing it. So, and not because I'm a prick. Honestly, it's just, I'm not going to learn it.
Apparently, the names make more sense in Japanese. They are based on real animals, all of them.
Are they?
Even the really weird fucking ones. Some of them are based on mythological creatures, but most of them are based on real animals.
Isn't there one that's like just 8 circles piled on top of each other, like 8 spheres?
Isn't there one that's the soul of a dead person, I think? There's a ghost one?
Yeah, a lot of them are based on, like, yokai and shit.
All right. Sure. I mean, I'm not here to make fun of Pokemon.
I mean, I will admit that I did write a thing that was, I don't know what magazine it was for, that was just the list of new Pokemon coming out is just things this guy won in a divorce.
Great.
And that is...
I dig it. I dig that.
I'll admit that they are running out of shit.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I just have some world logic questions to Pokemon, just like a couple that I don't.
Well, wait. If I may, I have a question for Hannah that I think is less trivial. So I want to do it first.
Fair enough.
Do you think at its heart, would you like this game better, the worse, better, worse, or the same? If it was the same. And it was behaviors on a time loop, and you played courses over and over and got better and better at the time loop. But it wasn't on rails. You could freely drive.
That's
a
huge difference maker. Huge difference maker.
I think the time loops would be much harder to program because when does this loop start? And, you know, at what angle do you see the Pokemon, or are you not actually seeing it, but you're within the vicinity and the loop starts without your knowledge?
Oh, yeah. It would make the game super hard.
I think it would be harder to program. I would enjoy it more, sure, but I think that's a tall order. I would enjoy it more in VR. I'll say that.
That's a good point. Yeah, Nintendo doesn't have a VR presence, really.
They don't.
Well, just
the
Nintendo Labo cardboard kit you can use your phone with, I think, is the closest they get.
Which is a different cool idea. I mean, I do want to say I appreciate that Nintendo, as a company, does try different kinds of games and, like, different vibes. Like, there's so few companies that are trying a vibe like this. Like, there's nothing competitive about this at all. Like, even when the other kid shows up who's, like, pissed off, like, why does he always get to take the good pictures? He just becomes another cheerleader.
He doesn't do shit to you. He just lets you walk all over him like a doormat.
Yeah, you're competing against yourself. Yeah. I appreciate that, too.
And I think I think Nintendo's ahead of us in that way. And clearly, Nintendo is ahead of me, at least, in terms of how to make people care about this property. Because to me, I look at it from outside not liking Pokemon and thought, this is the best Pokemon outing that is possible. Like, it's just sort of a, it's like a theme tour, like a theme park ride where you like meet some of the creatures and take pictures of them. And I would think more new fans would come in for that. But apparently I'm wrong. Apparently the fighting game is the one that people care the most about.
The tackling and the fainting, Adam. They want the tackling and the fainting.
Yeah, people really like that gameplay. There is some strategy to it. I will say that you know, non-Pokemon people don't. It's pretty intuitive strategy.
It's Final Fantasy.
But there is some,
yeah, right?
Yeah, there is some strategy.
Well, it's Magic
and
the Gathering.
People enjoy. I think people really enjoy the evolvative nature.
Evolvative.
Yeah, and I think.
Yeah, it's just fun to see it level up in that way.
This stems from the fact that Nintendo used to be a game company, like a physical game and trading card company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Pokemon, the gameplay, is like a trading card game.
Right. And that does translate, I would say. As a person who played Pogs before Pokemon was a thing and got into that and thought, Pokemon's just going to be more Pogs and was dead wrong. I understand the thing that Pokemon is doing. Like it's mini card games. It's like Final Fantasy. It's doing that stuff, right? And this game is, I thought, interesting because it's really not about the loop that most people care about with Pokemon. It's actually about the creatures themselves, which I have always assumed you have to care about in order to like Pokemon. Which has been always the barrier for me.
No, people don't.
Yeah, I guess that's right. So
I do, but yeah, people don't. I like the character designs. I like to imagine what they're based on and be dead wrong every time.
Okay, that is interesting.
That is kind of fun for me, but I'm a weirdo who likes animals.
I mean, no, I like National Geographic. Like, if they made National Geographic Snap. You know, and it was just like, hey,
I would love that.
If you're just touring, like, here's the ant kingdom and shit. And, like, you're...
Everything has a yellow border. You have no choice.
Like, I know that sounds stupid, but, like, for real, if, like, they put a lot of time and energy into making a pretty cool zoo game, I think I'd dig that. You know, like...
I would, too.
I think I would really like that. I think the fact that they're not real creatures is what makes me kind of go, eh, about it.
Well, I also think the whole game is... Or a big chunk of the game is functioning on the aesthetics and vibe level.
Agreed.
And that's totally valid space. And so even as I say the menus feel like the game is padded out with menu stuff to me, the menus are all crisp and nice and look really good. Everything looks really Nintendo-y and really polished.
Great snap sounds, great sound design in general. Yeah.
But there are a few... I'll tell you one that got to me is I wished you could turn your fluff fruits off in photos, like after you took the photo, because I was constantly bonking them with fluff fruit to get a reaction. Did that bug you at all, Hana? Like, are there any photos where you wish you could turn
I tend to put stickers on them to make it look like the Pokemon is eating something very dumb.
Right, sure.
You can unlock stickers.
Right.
You can make the Pokemon eat poop.
Right, great.
Are there filters?
Yeah, it's like Instagram.
There are filters.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad there.
There are filters. There are captions.
Keys. Yeah. I didn't mess with that much, but it should learn from other photo modes, and it sounds like it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it. I still haven't unlocked all the stickers.
Right. I mean, it's definitely, and also they've DLC'd several new courses and stuff. Like they're still adding to this game.
They are,
which is good.
You can shrink. You go underwater. Yeah. Do they ever make you go through a Pokemon's body?
That's what we want. The
snapping pics of
organs. Oh, I would love that. If they magic school bus that shit, I would really enjoy that.
I mean, the weirder they push it right now that it can shrink to an arbitrary size.
Yeah. Which
I mean, if you go through a Pikachu, you have to see where the electricity comes from. I kind of need that.
And it turns out it's
the shock bladder.
Some weird kind of spleen. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of Pokemon's bizarre relationship with matter and space and time, why do they only let you keep four photographs of a Pokemon on the Pokedex?
Well, you can put anything into your personal journal.
Fine,
that you want,
but I think. And I say this half joke, but half not joke.
But why are the biologists like, there shall be four photos
exactly.
of zebras,
it's,
then no
it's like,
more.
What kind of fucking science are we doing here, man? Like, what are we trying to discover? The four coolest facts. That's all we need to know about, you know, buffalope or whatever the fuck the name of the thing is.
Well, I mean, this Oof-a-lon. This is, again, just exposing what other games do that isn't quite as clear. It's about storage. That's all. It's about storage.
I mean, of course it's about storage, and yet my eyebrow has to raise at that, given that they can literally warp you through a wormhole to get to any of these areas, which also makes, by the way, the idea of being on rails ridiculous, because you're in a hovercraft, so why is it on rails?
They can teleport.
Yeah, what are we doing? Anyway, just these observations, they occur to you while you're, you know,
look, if you want to drive the hovercraft while trying to engage and elicit these behaviors within a time frame, be my guest. That seems like too hard.
No, man, that is, I feel like that's actually,
good luck.
I think that is actually pretty standard video game fare at this point. That's
okay. I'm going to tell you good luck because
that turns it into an FPS.
You had
that
trouble unlocking the new, you both had trouble unlocking the first level. So,
hey,
good
I
luck.
That's,
the second level.
Thank
the
you.
Second level.
Second level.
I'm willing to be insulted. That's fine. I'm willing to be insulted, but I'm just going to point out that, like, literally, to get from one location to the next in, say, a Grand Theft Auto, you got to be able to drive and, like, look a different direction and push another button. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty standard shit.
But do you have to push another button in various orders to elicit very specific.
Absolutely.
You're not just shooting at people.
In the right place
Absolutely.
And time, facing the right direction.
Yes,
in the right
you're also assuming...
Yeah. Not in the right order after the right reactions occur. You're shooting at people. It's one
Pardon me. Yes, that's true, but... And nobody's...
You don't have to make them eat and then dance.
Well,
and then...
I would say in modern shooters, though, it's usually more than one thing because you're shooting different kinds of ammo
right.
for different situations.
Right.
You're doing
sure.
It's roughly
but also,
equivalent.
And also,
no, it's
in Pokemon
not
Snap,
because
you
don't
what,
have to shoot
things?
Different kinds of ammo in a specific order after being prompted while driving.
Here's where I...
You do in Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes, absolutely. Here's where I'm going to disagree with you all the more.
Okay, first of all,
it's that you don't have to, nobody
in Horizon Forbidden West. You are running, not driving. Second of all, you are not eliciting these things in specific orders. You are going by strengths and weaknesses. And yeah, you do need to keep going at ice if it's weak against ice, and then do something else. But you
there's
have
a specific
lot more time
order
to
some
do
of
that.
It. Like, you do the purge water in order to get it in a responsive state for electricity, etc.
Sure, but you have so much more time to do that.
I'm just going to point out, nobody said you ever that you have to keep driving while you do the thing. You can drive to a spot, stop, and do the thing. That's the entire idea of having a free roam camera. Right, like
right, but then the behavior loops are going to start, and you might not be looking at the thing in time within a 3D world.
Well, that's the thing about. I disagree with that. We've done so many open worlds now in video games that like those kind of limitations are not real problems for developers. How could they be? I walk in on specific loops all the time in, like, I don't know, Cyberpunk or Breath of the Wild or
timed events. Those are triggered.
Yeah, this is
events.
Those are triggered in timed events.
It's a little different.
But the character is going within a very simple loop. They are doing a series of very simple moves. They're going after you in one of three ways, for example. You don't have to trigger certain behaviors from the characters, and if you do, you have unlimited time to do it while it's going through its regular loop.
I cannot possibly fathom that this is a real problem for a developer to figure out. Like, it's got to be solvable.
I guess I'm in the middle because I'm not questioning that it could be done. I just think it would make the
game
significantly
could be done.
Harder.
Yes.
I don't know if maybe it would be, but also like you'd have more. It depends on if you're still under the same time constraints. I realize I'm designing a different game, but like
you're designing a different game.
Yeah, but
at least you brought the episode back on the
rails.
Zing. That's what we're talking about. The rails.
I still believe there is a better version of this idea that is a free range version of it. Like, I think the idea of being immersed in the Pokemon environment is a good idea.
You play as Raichu, right? But he's grim. He's damaged. He's been fucked up.
He uses the knight as cover. No, for real. Like, I think there's...
I think you could do that. I don't think that you could have as complex of... as complex of a unlocking mechanism or as short of a time frame to do these things.
I'm happy to hear a Nintendo developer explain on Twitter to me why I don't know what I'm talking about here. I'm happy to hear that, for real. If it's like, oh, okay.
I'm trying to remember if you had to elicit specific behaviors in Fatal Frame, the only other photography game I can recall, but I don't think you did. I think you just snapped photos.
Every game has a photo mode now. That is frankly slightly more sophisticated.
That needs butthole stickers.
Yeah, let's
clearly
do that.
Should be in every photo.
First of all, butthole stickers for everything. Second of all, your time within which to do a complex series of actions is very limited. And during that time, like, are you going to be dodging Pokemon attacks? Because that's what I'm thinking of with Horizon, with that comparison, for example. Or are you driving a vehicle?
I assume we were driving a vehicle. Todd. I would honestly like it if the Pokemon could be hostile to the hover machine. Like, I wouldn't mind that.
Really?
Yeah, I think you should play
as a ghost and you just float around taking pictures.
Like a true photo mode. That's what you want.
Like photo mode and time is looping. Yeah, and you try to get specific photos in specific configurations. Yeah,
Pokemon Snap. I like the Safari Pokemon idea. Like, that's what I like. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, put them on a good Safari.
You don't get attacked very often.
Also, Safaris are generally on a path.
That's true. And yet,
they're on a course.
And yet, the mind can conceive in a world with fictional monsters how you might be able to leave a path. I'm just saying, like,
yes. Well, you're in a Neo-1 bubble pod already.
Yes, but I'm saying, when are you going to initiate your time window when you're not on a path? At what point do you initiate your time window to do a complex series of actions? I'm sure it can be done.
I think
it would be a much harder game. I'm not saying it's not programmable. I'm saying it would be a much harder game. And like I said, you couldn't already unlock the second level, so.
And it sounds like Hannah's saying it would be antithetical to the vibe, right?
It does sound like that. I enjoy the idea of Han and I being in a boardroom, each of us pointing at our own whiteboards about what the game should be with
Rails
pointers.
Bad. Yeah. Rails good.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think rails are necessarily good or bad. I just think you're describing a different game in which probably the series of things you have to do to elicit certain behaviors would be simpler. Mm.
And I think I'm describing the cool thing about this game only maximized. But it is different than the game they gave us. That is absolutely true. And this may be irreconcilable. I'm going to keep pointing at my whiteboard. But just in the interest of time, we probably should pass our final checkpoint. Don't you agree,
I think you guys have entered a debate loop that I'm just standing, cackling, watching. My fingers steepled.
I think so. So we're going to pass that final checkpoint into the ultimate section, the Keeper Delete section.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question: how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, The real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Where we determine whether this game belongs on a celestial hard drive, which will be shown explicitly to aliens. So, Hana,
but you don't even know. The lore is deeper than that. They might be godlike beings. There might be a smack of divinity to them.
They could be. They,
you know, we'll be revealing this over time.
They could be our judges.
The thing I'm going to say about this is,
they're celestial.
How many first-person shooters are there? How many racing games are there? How many fighting games are there? How many games with the same kind of mechanics and gameplay are there on this?
The thing
we've been arguing about is, I think, what warrants it being on that.
Is that it's a unique mode that would not otherwise be represented of interacting with a game.
Yes.
That's an interesting argument.
How many FPSs are on there? BioShock Infinite.
Hold on, I can actually pull this up while...
I got it right now. Okay, Portal 2, but it's not really a shooter as much as a puzzle, but it is an FP. Halo Combat Evolved.
Well, just so everyone knows,
007. Yeah, there's a fair number of FPSs, you know.
This is after we've done...
She's got a point. She's not wrong.
We've done a little bit of hard drive maintenance in an episode that you guys will hear, which is how Halo got on there. You'll hear an episode about that soon enough.
That's right. There's been some recalculations. So yes, what I just said was canon.
Fallout New Vegas is also on there. Technically,
that's an FPS, I guess.
Technically, Minecraft is. But, I mean, what you're really asking, I think, is how many first-person games are there on here?
Well, I think what I'm asking is how many games that have similar gameplay to one another.
I think it's a smart point. It enshrines a lot of things that would not otherwise be represented on the list at all.
It's a good question. There's a lot of games on here.
Pokemon itself. Like, think of it this way.
I feel
like Pokemon itself is important enough to the cultural zeitgeist to make the drive. This might be the least objectionable Pokemon game to me, so we may as well get it in there.
I mean, it's definitely the most different.
Wow. But, okay,
that's why I like it. Yeah.
Before we get all the way down there, Hana, are you keeping it?
I'm keeping it.
Okay, great. Mike, are you keeping it?
I'm keeping it.
You're keeping this?
I'm keeping it.
Wow. Okay.
Because of the feeling I got when that bird did a loop-de-loop.
I understand that the Pokemon crowd will love you now and will hate me. I understand what's happened here, because there's no way I'm keeping this game. There is no way I'm keeping this game.
There was some strategy to it, social strategy.
Of course there was.
Now it's Hana and me versus you.
Yeah, of course. Classic. classic. Adam has to be the bad guy. But I relish it this time, because this is not that good of a game. I'm sorry. I understand Hana's point about its uniqueness, and I can't disagree with that. If that was the only criteria for what belongs, I would give this game its place on the hard drive. I'm willing to hear from people what they think the best Pokemon game is. It probably should be one of those fighting games.
Right on that.
Well, it probably should be one of those. Yeah. I think if we're going to really capture the essence of a Pokemon experience, it's one of those fighting games. Because that's what they keep making. They make several of them a year now.
I guess, but they're not allowed to mention Missing No. Can I just say that?
They're not allowed to miss which one?
Missing No. They'll know what it means.
Okay. Yeah, you don't know, but they'll know.
They'll know what it means.
The pokey heads.
Okay. All right. Well, we had ourselves a wonderful time. Hana, thank you so much for joining us for this lively debate about Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for bringing the pain.
She really did.
This kind of episode.
She really did.
Oh, I was ready. I knew how Adam was going to react to this game.
That's right.
I knew.
It's all
that's right.
Adam.
Adam's the bad one. Adam's bad.
Well, look,
even Evilsaur or whatever.
Look, I just watch you on Twitch, and I know how you react to certain games.
Mm-hmm. I do. I never did stream the new Pokemon Snap because I was afraid that I might be too shitty while I played it. I was like, I might not. This might not be right for me. Now, look, I do want to say one broad caveat. I fully recognize there'll be people who like this that are just more open-minded about Pokemon as a thing than I am. So I recognize that there might be a limitation in my brain, but also, hey man, I gotta be honest, this game doesn't do it for me. Hopefully that assuages the anger. And also
you don't need to assuage the anger. This is a podcast of your opinions.
Let's go to bed angry. I agree.
Hashtag stay angry.
you are really doing some evil work today, Michael Spam. You are really doing something today. I like
it. Off the leash.
You really are. Hannah, do you have anything you want to plug?
The stuff that I am working on may or may not ever be made. So
sure.
And I don't think
sounds
based
like
on
the name
this
of a Chris Eggers project.
Yeah, and I don't think my presence on this podcast is going to want people to hire me as a life coach. So I guess I'll plug my Etsy.
I don't know. I think you made a great case for how to deal with overbearing gingers
and the value of structure. Life is just a series of looping behaviors, but you got to keep on the rails, you know?
Yeah.
Stay on your path.
Yeah. I think you fought for it here today. I liked that.
Well, just because you can't see the path doesn't mean it's not leading you somewhere. Okay.
That's right.
There we go. That
then
sounds like something.
A bird eats you.
That sounds like something I've probably said to a client, very tired. I don't know. Look. Look, I'm going to plug my Etsy, which is Cat Butt Boutique, and it's not spelled like boutique because I didn't go for the obvious joke. Mm. Not because I'm better than that, but because I just didn't think of it. So it's Boutique, I think, and cat butt like a cat butt.
Great.
So that would be booty, like Boutique. Is that the joke?
Yeah.
That we missed? That's a little confusing to spell, though.
I mean, look.
It's not intuitive. I think you went the
right
way.
It's not intuitive, but people on Twitter have been upset that
thoroughly
I did not.
Thoroughly pointed out.
Yes.
You know, the pun was right there.
If you missed something, it will be pointed out on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy anything, but I am going to give you some free advice. You didn't spell it right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Loved having you.
Thanks, listeners.
And yeah, thank you to our listeners who always support this podcast. We really appreciate it. And if you liked this podcast, there's an end plate describing exactly what you can do. So go ahead and do that. Hey, Swaim, anything else?
Here comes that end plate.
Work complete.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.